And then when I was praying and then looking at meals with Jesus, it just showed me a pattern that I've seen with Jesus. Sometimes people present Christianity, our relationship with Jesus, as if it's like legalistic. You know, you need to be holy and you don't need to smile. Be careful how you talk and all those things. I just saw that this Jesus is so cool. He's just so natural, non-condemning. He uses every opportunity to present the love of God. So for him to even go to have meals with different people, sometimes it could be one person, sometimes it could be with 5,000. I felt that was great. Sometimes he would go and talk to people on the mountain or at the valley. Sometimes he would go to the beach. That's the kind of thing I like, just to go to the beach and then be listening to Jesus. So Jesus made this life very interesting. Recently, I've been looking at the social life of Jesus, and I was really, really baffled. One thing I discovered is Jesus doesn't confront anyone with condemnation. The first thing you see about Jesus is never condemnation. It's about love. And I was just thinking, so having meals is a great opportunity for us to show the love of Jesus. So anyhow that will manifest, whether with our conduct, whether we say anything or not, as a pastor, it has helped me. Let me give you an example. Since I've been a leader or an elder, Gavin, please, can you remind me, how long have I been? Yes. I don't know how many. 18 years. Oh, Gavin has been Methuselah. One thing I've discovered is there is no one that I've invited for a meal or for coffee that's refused. In fact, there was someone at the time, we were phoning him and everybody was phoning him where to find out where he was. We didn't see him in church and in the Connect group, and he didn't respond. So I just sent a text. I'm happy for us to meet at Costa Coffee. 1 minute later, I got a response. Where? When? And we met. So I discovered that Jesus uses any tool that is available for him to just show the love of Jesus, the love of God. And I think that should also resonate with us. For this time, we are looking at how he had meals with different people, with the Pharisees, with 5,000 people, with Simon. We're going to be considering Levi today. But it could be any opportunity. Even it could be at a wedding. Can you imagine? He went to a wedding and he made a difference. There are times, even checking his social life, sometimes he's not even talking to people about God. His presence was just what makes a difference. Unless you tap him and you ask him. So I was saying that, this kind of life is so good. Any opportunity we have to invite people. So let's look at it briefly. Yes, I'm also checking my time. So I'm reading Luke chapter 5 from verse 27. Let me see. Oh, okay. <laughs> Oh, yes. Okay. So let's read together. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. Levi, when is still the same, it's the same person as Matthew. So Matthew, Levi, the same. Okay? Sitting at the tax booth. It was like when you go to Africa, like Richard just came back from Liberia and Guinea. Almost every five minutes, you encounter a policeman or an immigration officer or a tax collector. So it was like that was happening in those days. It's like when there is an incident, you see police checkpoint at every place. So I imagine that he was on the road. And even when you read these incidents, when God Jesus called Levi in Mark, the Bible says Jesus had just finished teaching and he was on the road. So these incidents happened on the road. And he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, of a doctor, like Dr. Rachel. I'm sorry. But those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So let's look at this intently. Just few things I wanted us to look at. I wanted us to see a pattern in Jesus' ministry. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. Jesus was not discriminatory. Whether it was a tax collector, whether it was a Pharisee, whether it was a woman at the well, is it the Samaritan woman? Jesus had love for everybody. And tax collectors in those days, they see them as corrupt people. And people don't like tax collectors. Even in our generation, when they come after you, up to now. I just heard about a woman in Vietnam. I think in Vietnam. She was one of the richest women. She had almost worth $44 billion. And they discovered that the tax people went after her. And it's just on the news recently. So they found that she was guilty and they're going to kill her just for, and that was very severe. It's on the news recently. I was just thinking that's so severe. But she embezzled $44 billion. So tax people, they are known for that. Can you see the harsh punishment they gave this lady? And she's so young. So tax people are known for doing this kind of thing. So the society don't really like them. Even when you read about Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector. He had a lot of wealth. That when he encountered Jesus, he said, I was going to give those wealth away, even double to people. So, but look at Jesus. And he said to him, follow me. I love this so much. You know, when we were singing the first song, what Jesus saw that, yes, the sin of this guy was great. Even sometimes in our society, we see the sin of the people are great. We see ungodliness. We see lawlessness. But you know what? Jesus says, my love is greater. And I think that is the perspective for me. Let's see what is happening. Jesus knew that this was a tax collector. He knew what they are capable of. But you know what he was saying? My love is greater. We carry the love of God that is greater to overcome all these issues. So we shouldn't be looking at people, don't let me say we shouldn't be. Even when people are sinners, let's see what we can offer them. We can offer them something greater. That's what I like about Jesus. So when we were singing that song, I was so happy. The sin of the people is great, but the love of Jesus is greater. I love that. And let's have that at the back of our mind. And we carry this love of Jesus that is greater than anything people can do. So there's no need for condemnation. Yeah. Sometimes when I meet people, sometimes they just tell me it's because they don't know. Even Jesus said that these people are distressed. They are confused. And that's why I came. The reason why God has brought you at this time, in this generation, in Manchester, is because you carry a greater love that overcomes any sin that people can think of. I love this. I love this. So Jesus says, follow me. That's one of the patterns I see about Jesus. He was always presenting something different. Especially when you see, we'll talk about that later. And the Bible says, leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Theologians said so many things about this. One of the patterns they mentioned about Jesus, and even in the Old Testament, is one of the conditions to really follow Jesus, to get the best out of Jesus, to fulfill God's purpose, to advance the kingdom of God, is that when Jesus is saying, follow me, it meant you need to leave everything to follow him. Even in the Old Testament, you know, when God called Abraham, the Bible said he left his father, he left everything to follow God. So even this pattern is still in the Old Testament. When you read about Elijah, he had an agricultural company. He had horses. The Bible says he left everything to follow Elijah. So the condition to follow Jesus, and I'm sure this guy knows, because you see, in that society at that time, there are so many people who have people they follow. So when you read Luke, I think, is it chapter 7? Let me read it. Chapter 7, verse 33. You will see few people. Chapter 7, verse 33. For John the Baptist came. I think it's 5, 33. Not that one. 33 now. They said to him, John's disciple often fast and pray. And so the disciples of the Pharisees. So it appears to me as if people were following certain kind of people in those days. It could be John the Baptist, or it could be the Pharisees. Can you imagine that the Pharisees had disciples? But it appears to me as if Levi saw something different. He just saw that, no, this man, this, let me use Jesus as a guy. Yes, because he's a cool guy. So there's something different about this person. I'm going to leave everything. Can you see the consequence of the decision of Levi? That this wealth that I have, I'm going to leave it. The people that surround me, and he cannot go back to that profession. He left everything. And that was what the disciples. And I thank God. You know, sometimes we don't see this about ourselves. The sacrifice we make, our contribution, our generosity, our tithe and offering, you could have used that to go to do something else, to invest in some properties or shares. You left everything. You said, no. The decisions we've made, God is going to reward us. You make sacrifice sometimes for prayer meetings, to go to ladies. You could have done some other things. Or you could have been doing some other things. God sees what we do for him. And God is going to reward us. Sometimes it may appear as if we are not getting any result. Please, let's wait on God, because we're going to get the reward. And Levi made him a great feast, that's the food, in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. It's been shown that in those days, even now, when you invite people for a meal, it's a sign of friendship. It's a sign of love. It's a sign of intimacy. It's a sign of, look, I'm with you. I'm not here to condemn you. And that was what this guy did. He saw an opportunity. You know, he invited Jesus, but not only Jesus, he invited a great company. I don't know how we would define a large company. It means there were many. I don't know the kind of cooking Levi made that day. I'm sure he saw something. And others. So it was not just the tax collectors. See, three people he invited. Jesus, he invited a large company of tax collectors, his colleagues, and others. I don't know why those others. It could be the Pharisees, the scribes, and some other people, because you will see the comment they made later. One of the things I discovered is, you know, even in my ministry as a pastor, I've invited my colleagues when I was at Stepping Hill Hospital, but I made sure that I made them good Nigerian meal. They went back the next day and they were telling my other colleagues. And my other colleagues were telling me, when am I coming back? When can we come to your house to have such a meal? And it wasn't that we were even telling them about Jesus. We were just showing our life, the love of God that we had in us. It's so good. Even as a pastor to sometimes, some single ladies, and we have done that. We just invite them. Sometimes people just want someone to listen to them. So it's not a matter of even praying or even telling them anything. It's just listen. They see an atmosphere that you invited them. Sometimes you just say chicken and salad. So I don't have much to do, really. So it's not that I'm preparing lasagna or pavlova. No, just chicken and salad. I can do that. Sometimes it's with couples. I just invite them for breakfast. I say between 8 and 10. Breakfast, we have full English breakfast. And then by 10, everybody's gone back home. Food is a good thing. Jesus loves food. Even when he met Zacchaeus, can you imagine? He met Zacchaeus, he said, come down. Right now, I'm going to your house to go and eat. He said, I will abide in your house tonight. Even when he resurrected, the first thing he went for was to go for fish. There must be something about food. It's powerful. Let's use it. Let's use that too. But see my friends. See what they did. They are not even my friends. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Please, I want us to know, even with us showing the love of God, some people might condemn us. Some people might say, what are you doing? So this is part of the suffering we have for Christ. What are you doing with sinners? You know, on my street, yesterday I will make sure that when we prepare Nigerian food, like the jollof rice, you know Nigerians make the best jollof rice. Whether you like it or not, I know, as far as I'm concerned. So we give it to all our neighbors. We didn't know that when we got to our street, a lot of the people on our street, they do fight. You can't park in front of another person. We were the only one that we were friends with everybody. I didn't know that it united everybody together. Just sending meals. I remember the man opposite our house before he died. You know, he can talk about football with you. He can talk about the weather, about politics for 2 hours. But when you mention Jesus, you just say, please, I want to go. But we kept on just showing the love of Jesus to him and talking to him. Do you know this guy? Sometimes he will say, can I just come and stay in your house? He was like 92. So I just want to. I said, but you have daughters and you have sons. No, I want to. There's something about your house. I will just be there and be talking and will serve him food. Some of our neighbors, you can't believe it, they come and borrow salt. I don't know if people can come to your house and your neighbors will come and borrow salt. It's because of the love of Jesus. So it's so powerful. But some people can grumble. Please, some people can complain about us. Can you see? Whether you do the right thing, I discover that people will grumble. Whether you do the wrong thing, people will grumble. So let me show you an example. In Luke chapter 7, verse 33. I have it on the slide, but I know if I go there, I'm going to. Luke 7, 33. For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he's a demon. Can you imagine? When John the Baptist came, He wasn't drinking or eating anything. They said he was a demon. Can you see how these people can just condemn you to the extreme? They will say something that will touch your nerve. Somebody is serving God and say, you are a demon. Now, let's see. Then verse 34. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of the tax collector and sinners. What do you want to do? If you eat with them, they will condemn you. If you don't eat with them, they will still condemn you. So what do I want to say? Please, let's go with what God has told us to do. If God has given us tools to do, don't mind what people say. Let's go ahead and do it. Some people might say, even family members like us, you are just wasting your money, hosting people, just food. You don't know anything more than food. Do it. You know why? God is going to reward us. God is going to bless us. Let me begin to round up. And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I love this. Can you see Jesus using the word doctor? Jesus is our doctor. Whether to meet us physically, spiritually, or in our mind, or in our soul. He's our doctor. So I was so happy when Rachel was saying, let's gather together and pray for those who are sick. Yes, that's the physical one. But those who are sick. I discovered that Jesus has come, like I was saying, for people who are helpless, people who have a need. Jesus just discovered that he's carrying something that will be a blessing to them. And that's one of the things I want to say. Whether we are using meals or not, whether we are using anything or not, let's know that we are carrying something. We're carrying something powerful to help people who are in need. And it appears to me as if Jesus just saw these people as if they have a need. And they can't help themselves. That's why we have people like Rachel. Even when people want to help themselves, when they are sick, they don't know what to do. That's why I don't like people, you know, they recommend medication for you. Just because, let's say, they had a headache. They say, oh, I use paracetamol. And then they will tell you, just because you have a headache, they don't know what is causing your headache. It could be high blood pressure, it could be fever, it could be something. They say, oh, go and take paracetamol. No, go and see a doctor. And what do I want to say about this? When we need help, please, let's seek for help. Sometimes we might be struggling, we might be going through a difficult time in our relationship with God. It might not even be our relationship with God. It may be at work. Let's seek help. We've got help. So when we are singing that song, God, I look to you. That's my favorite song. Rachel, thank you. I won't be overwhelmed. I want to tell us there are issues in life that will overwhelm us. Our help comes from God. And I'm just so happy that Jesus demonstrated this to us. Yeah, and the last bit says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My heart is to show the greater love of God. But when they encounter that love, I want them to turn from their way. And that was what Levi did. He left everything he had and he started following Jesus. He started learning about Jesus. He started knowing more about Jesus. That is so fantastic. I just want to give a summary of Matt, I need your help. Oh, the battery has died. Okay. Oh, it's not, or do I need to do this? Okay, so as a summary, we saw a pattern in Jesus' ministry. He saw that the sin of the people was great, but he knew he had a greater love. He was showing the greater love of Jesus. That was the pattern I saw with Jesus' ministry. And he was not doing it like in a religious and legalistic way like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leader. He did it with the love of God. He wasn't condemning. And I think that's the pattern we have as Christians in our world today. Okay. Oh, I wanted to the complaint. Then I talked about whatever we do, people might complain about you. Please don't let that stop us. Let's keep going. Don't let us be tired. The Bible says, don't be weary of doing good. Because at the right time, you will receive the reward. Sometimes some of us have been doing it, but we have stopped inviting people for meal. Sometimes we are too busy. But in that busyness, let's still have time. Don't let us grow weary. Because what you are doing is right. God is well pleased with us. So if we have stopped it, please, let's rekindle it again. Okay? A doctor. We talk about the doctor. Dr. Jesus. He saw himself as a doctor to come and help people. This is what we are here for in our world, to help people. That's why Jesus called us to go and go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. He says, go and heal the sick. You know, where people need wisdom. I just love the kind of Christian life that we have. Our relationship with Jesus is not legalistic at all. It's so easy. That's why they call it good news. And the last one, the result of following Jesus. I will just read that and then I will close. You will notice that after Levi was called, he became one of Jesus' closest followers. And later, one of the apostles. He followed Jesus. He became a disciple. He became an apostle. There's a reward for us. Anything we do for Jesus, it can't go to waste. He is traditionally believed to be the author of the Gospel of Matthew. Can you imagine the book of Matthew that we read? Can you imagine how many people have read Matthew? There's something about us. You know what I want to say? Don't let us underestimate ourselves. Let me tell this story and then I'm going to end. I went to go and preach to one of my friends in the Netherlands. They were about 20 or 25. So one woman, she was about 78. She came to me and said, young man, I thank you for your preach. But I know I want to serve God, but I'm too old to serve God. I'm a pensioner. There's nothing I can do. I said, once you are alive, you still have the love of Jesus. And that love that you think is insignificant is greater than anything you can present to people. Their problems, their issues. I said, really? I said, okay, what do you think I can do? I said, I don't know what you can do. What do you think you can do that comes naturally to you? She said, I can bake cake. You can bake cake? I said, then do it and bring it to the meeting. So she started baking cake and she would bring it on Sunday. You know why I was shocked? Then some of the youth started coming, not to listen to the message or Rachel or the music. They know that after the meeting, there will be cake. And they started bringing their friends. Then two of them became a Christian. The other time, when I went back to the meeting, they were doubled. And I was just thinking, you mean cake? For her, cake, baking cake was insignificant. But that was the only thing she could do naturally. She started doing it faithfully. So what am I saying? Brothers and sisters, meal could be powerful to advance the kingdom of God. Thank you.